Good to have each one of you in the audience tonight. I trust that what I'm going to say to you tonight will be biblical, but I hope it won't take me for an eternity to say it. I hope that I will have you out of here in good time tonight. I do apologize for the longevity of last evening, and I'll do everything I can within my power to not keep you as long tonight. Thank you for being here. And if you are a visitor, I want you to know I'm honored. I'm deeply honored that you're chosen in your time, your busy schedule, to be with us here tonight. It's our prayer that what we're going to say from God's word will be biblical and will be enlightening. How many copies of God's word do we have tonight? If you have a Bible, please raise it up. Great. It's good to see as many Bibles as we see in the audience tonight, because I'm here each evening not to preach what Sammy Jones says, but what thus saith the Lord. Tonight we're going to talk about an important subject. One that most people will say, oh, there they go again. Every time you go to the Church of Christ, they always want to talk about the church. Well, tonight, I could not conduct a meeting without talking about the church. And so tonight, I want to help you to discover the importance of the truth about the church. And I want to use God's word to help you to discover the importance of the church and God's plan for man's salvation. Before we begin our lesson, there's a few verses that I want you to look at. And these verses will set the foundation for which we want to build the lesson tonight. If you have your copy of God's word, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And look at what the Bible says in verse 13, because it is confusing. As I was traveling here from Henderson, Tennessee, we passed many churches of different names and different denominations. And you say, Brother Jones, how can you preach what you're about to preach on the church when there are so many churches in America and there are so many churches in the world? I have you to know that God is not the author of confusion. God is not responsible for all the churches. And I want you to understand that. And I'm going to use the Bible tonight to try to convey that. And I don't want anyone to get upset with me. Please listen to me. Before you write me off, please listen to what I'm going to say about the church and its importance in our salvation. And the religious world of different beliefs and different doctrines, God is not the author of confusion. You know what God's will is? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. God's will is that we all walk by the same rule. Not that we all walk by different rules, that we all walk by the same rule, that we all preach the same thing, that we all believe the same thing. God's will is that not here at West Palm Beach, they preach one thing, and at another church, they teach another thing. God's will is that we all walk by the same rule, by the same doctrine. And tonight, I want to help you to understand why we believe the church is important in man's salvation. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems like you can join the church of your choice and be saved, but just because something seems right doesn't make it right. What makes it right if it's God's word supports it. And so just because you're in a way doesn't mean you're on your way to heaven. You need to investigate God's word to make sure that the way that you're traveling is the way that will lead you to heaven. And tonight, I want to help you to understand it matters which church you are a member of. It matters which church I'm a member of. Not because I say so, but because the Bible says so. And so tonight, my goal is to help us to understand the importance of the church and our salvation. I have 3 points to make tonight. And when I make these 3 points, the lesson will come to an end. The first point that I want to make tonight is why preach about the church. That's point number one. Why preach about the church? Why would I in a gospel meeting talk about the church? You know why I'm talking about the church? The first reason is because the prophets predicted the church would be established. If you have your copy of God's word, turn to Daniel 2. Look at verse number 44. Daniel 2 and verse number 44, and the Bible says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And it shall not be left to these other kings, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall last forever. The reason I preach about the church is because the prophets predicted that a church was going to be established. The church is important because the prophets talked about it. If you have your copy of God's word, turn to Isaiah chapter 2. 600 years before the day of Pentecost, listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 2. He said, and it, not them, not those, but it shall come to pass. And the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. And he says, and it shall last forever. It shall stand forever. The reason that I'm preaching tonight about the church is because the prophets predicted that a church, that a kingdom was going to be established. Now let's go to the New Testament. What did Jesus preach about? Shouldn't every preacher preach what Jesus preached about? Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. When Jesus began his ministry, what did Jesus preach about? I ought to preach the same thing tonight that Jesus preached when he was in the ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, when Jesus began his ministry, when Jesus began to preach, he told people to repent. Repent. Why? Because the kingdom is at hand. When Jesus preached, what did he preach about? He preached about the church. He preached about the kingdom. He told people, get ready. The prophets have already predicted, get ready, people. Something great is about to be established. Something wonderful in man's scheme of redemption. Something great and reconciling man back to God is about to be established. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It hadn't been established yet, but a church is about to be established. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse number 35. And the Bible says, as Jesus went about the villages and the cities and in their synagogue, what did he preach? The Bible says he preached about the gospel of the kingdom. And so tonight, every preacher who's worth his salt, every preacher who's worth anything, ought to tell people about the kingdom, about the church. Why? If you stay with me, I'm going to show you in just a moment. The church is an important part of man's, God's plan in saving man. The prophets predicted that the kingdom was going to be established. When Jesus began his ministry, he talked about the kingdom. He talked about the church. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse number 7. When Jesus sent the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples out and told them to go to the lost sheep house of Israel. Notice what he told them to go and do and go and preach. Did he tell them, go preach whatever you want to preach? Go preach whatever feels good? No. He says, as you go, preach, telling people about the kingdom is at hand. When you go, tell people about the church. Why? The church is important. Why? Because the church is significant. Why? Because the church is an important part of God's plan in saving man. The prophets talked about the church. Jesus and his ministry, he preached about the church, the kingdom. He told the 12 disciples, as you go, you tell people about the kingdom. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. When Jesus was resurrected from the grave, before he went back to heaven, he spent 40 days with his disciples. If I had only 40 days on this earth to live, what do you think I would be talking about with my wife and family? Well, you think I'd be talking about who's going to win the NAA game? No. The tournament, I wouldn't be concerned about that. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who's going to be drafted first? I would talk to my wife about the thing that's of the utmost importance. And when Jesus came out of that grave, what did he talk to his disciples about? The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3, he showed himself alive after many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, talking to them, discussing things with them about the kingdom, things pertaining to the kingdom, because they didn't know. like a lot of people don't know the importance of the church. They didn't understand the importance of the church and God's plan in saving man. And so before Jesus went back to heaven, he spent 40 days talking about nothing but the church. Why? It's important. Why? Because the church is significant. Why? Because you need to know and I need to know what's so important about the church and man's salvation. Then the Holy Spirit, who was to guide them into all the truth. What did the Holy Spirit, when it came upon the disciples, what did it tell them to preach? Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at verse number 12. Philip, being filled with the Holy Spirit, went down to the city of Samaria. Now, the Bible says in Acts 8, verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, being led by the Spirit. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 8, he produced joy in the city of Samaria. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria, he produced joy in the hearts of those people. You see, there was a man named Simon who had bewitched them, a man named Simon who had fooled them for many years. But Philip, being led by the Holy Spirit, went down to the city of Samaria and preached something. And when he preached it, it produced joy in the city. What did Philip preach? But when they believed Philip preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the church, they believed and they were baptized, both men and women. Why did the Holy Spirit lead Philip to preach about the church? You know why? Because the church is important. Amen. The church is important. The prophets talked about it. Jesus spent 3 years in his ministry preaching on it. Jesus told the 12 disciples to go out and tell people, repent, for something is about to be established. The Holy Spirit came on the scene and led Philip down to the city of Samaria to preach the word of God. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 25. As Paul is on his way to Miletus, he called the elders of Ephesus and he tells them something. And knowing that he was about to die, and knowing that he would not see them anymore, he tells them that I preached the whole counsel of God unto you and I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. What is it that Paul preached to the elders at Ephesus that he wanted to give them one more reminder of? Look at Acts 20. Look at verse number 25. Listen to what the Bible says. And now behold, I know ye all among whom I've gone preaching. What did Paul preach about? The kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, told people about the church. You know why? The church is important. Now look down at verse number 28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. The church had already been established at this point, and he's pleading with these elders to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood, which God died on the cross, Christ. To feed the church of Christ, which Jesus has purchased with his own blood. The prophets talked about the importance of the church. That's why I've got to preach on it. Jesus preached about the importance of the church. That's why I've got to preach on it. Jesus told the 12 disciples to go among the Jews and to tell them to get ready. It's about to be established. That's why I have to preach on it. And when he came up out of the grave, he spent 40 days before he ascended back into heaven talking about the kingdom. And that's why tonight I've got to tell you about the importance of the church. And then when the Holy Spirit guided the disciples and the apostles in the first century, they went from place to place preaching about the kingdom. You know why? Because it's important. But there's one more reason why the church is important. When you understand the purpose of the church, then you understand the reason why they preach on the church. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And while you're turning to Ephesians chapter 1, Jesus said something. And John 10 and verse number 16, he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them must I bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, at one time, the Jews and Gentiles were separate. And God had selected the Jews as his chosen people. But God made a promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. He He said, I will bless those that bless thee. I will curse those that curse thee. But in thy seed, talking about Abraham, in thy seed, one day shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. When God made that promise to Abraham, no one had any comprehension of what he was talking about. It was a mystery. Then along came the prophets talking about the church. Something is about to be revealed. Then Jesus preached about get ready. Something is about to be established. They didn't have any comprehension of what Jesus was referring back to. Yes, it's through Abraham's bloodline. It's through Abraham's bloodline, through Jesus Christ, one day, not just Jews, but one day both Jews and Gentiles are going to be blessed. And they had no idea. Jesus spent 40 days talking with the disciples about the church, and they still did not comprehend fully what he had in mind. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. I could quote this, but I want to read these two verses. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 9 and verse number 10. The Bible says, having made known unto us, God has made known unto us the mystery. The church was a mystery for many years, but God has made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. This is a fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham, that through thy seed, one day all the nations, both Jews and Gentiles, are going to be blessed. This is in keeping with that promise Jesus made. Other sheep I have. The other sheep were Gentiles. They were not in the fold. They were not in God's covenant. But other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. God had a plan whereby he can go and get the Gentiles and bring them, and they can be fellow heirs with the Jews. Follow me. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. He says, talking to the Gentiles, he says that at a time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. There was a time you Gentiles, you had no hope. There was a time you Gentiles, you were without God in this world. But look at verse 13. I like that conjunction there. But now, you see, we used to be without God, but now God's plan that through Abraham, that one day both Jews and Gentiles can be blessed. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were afar off are made now by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He has made both. Who's both? Both Jews and Gentiles. What? One. That was God's plan, that we all could be one in Christ Jesus. Not a member of the church of your choice. Not a member of the church of my choice. The church is not old MacDonald, a church here and a church there, here a church there. God's will is not that you just join any church of your choice. God's will is that we all would be one. Look at verse number 16. And that he might reconcile God's will through Jesus, the promise he made to Abraham. That's why the prophets talked about it. That's why Jesus says, get ready, people. Something great is about to be established. That's why he spent 40 days, because the church is important. And he says in verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. Now, when you've got one, what choice do you have? It's not the body of your choice. And one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, look over in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, how that by revelation he has made known unto me, Paul says, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Again, the church was a mystery. And the mystery now is about to be revealed. That's why the prophets, they predicted something great was about to be established. Jesus spent time preaching about it. The disciples went out and told the Jews to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Jesus spent 40 days talking about it. The Holy Spirit guided them to go to various cities and tell people about the kingdom. What were they to preach? Listen to verse 5. Here's the purpose of the church, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, the other sheep, that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the body of their choice. No. Of the church of their choice. No. God's will is that both Jews and Gentiles would be all members of the same body. The will of God is that we all preach the same thing. The will of God is that we all believe the same thing. The will of God is that we all practice the same thing. Amen. The church is important because the prophets talked about it. Jesus talked about it. Now, my second point, where are the saved tonight? Where are the saved tonight? The church is important, and that's why many have talked about it. But where are the saved tonight? Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. One day this world is going to come to an end, and those who are in Christ don't have to worry about judgment. But suppose you're not in Christ. If you want to escape condemnation, I don't know when judgment day is going to come, but it's coming. But if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about condemnation. That's what the Bible says. Tonight, you need to be in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Stay with me. I'm going to tell you. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a born-again Christian. He's a born-again believer. If any man be where? In Christ. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. How do you become a new creature? You get in Christ. Then how do you get in Christ? Stay with me. I'm going to tell you in just a moment. You see, those who are in Christ will escape condemnation. Those who are in Christ are born-again Christians. Turn to Revelation 14, verse 13. The Bible says, blessed, happy are the dead that die where? In the Lord. Every one of us, we're going to die one day. And you're either going to die in the Lord or out of the Lord. There's only two categories. But the Bible says, who's blessed on the day of judgment? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. When you die and you're going to die, you need to die in the Lord. What's so significant about the church? Stay with me. Stay with me. God made Abraham a promise that through thy seed, through thy descendant, shall one day all the nations of the earth be blessed. How is it that one day everybody who wants to go to heaven can go to heaven? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse number 16. For when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's coming up first? The dead in Christ. What about those who are not in Christ? They're not going to rise first. And those who come first shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Who's going to meet the Lord in the air? Those who die in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Stay with me. And I'll tell you in just a moment. Where do you need to be tonight? You need to be in Christ. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 10. Paul says, we endure all things for the elect's sake, for the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Where is salvation tonight? It's in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. Where are the blessed tonight? They're in Christ. My third and final point. Preacher, how do you get in Christ? You told us that the church is important. We believe that. You told us that the saved are in Christ. Then how do we get in Christ where the saved people are? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 22 and verse number 23. The Bible says, and God has given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. What is a church? It's the body of Christ. What is the body? It is the church of Christ. Let me read it again. Ephesians chapter 1. So no one would think that I'm misquoting it. Ephesians 1, look at verse 22 and 23. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his what? What's the body? What's the church? What's the body? What's the church? Now, I don't think you heard me. What's the body? What's the church? Where are the saved tonight? They're in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You get into his body. How do you get into his body? You get into his church. How do I know that? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. For by one spirit, nevertheless, whereto we've already obtained, let us all walk by the same rule. God's will is that we all obey the same thing. And if we all obey the same thing, if we all preach the same thing, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. What's the body? For by one spirit are we all baptized into one church. Not the church of your choice. I don't have a church to add you to. I don't have a church for you to join. Because when you obey the gospel, you're obeying Christ. And Christ adds those that obey his gospel to his body. Tonight, where are you? Are you where the saved people are? The saved people are in Christ. That's why the prophets said in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's why Jesus told people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why he told the 12 disciples to go out and as you go, preach saying the kingdom is at hand. That's why Jesus spent 40 days talking about the church, because the church is a significant part of God's plan to save men. And those who have obeyed the gospel, stay with me, I'm going to show it to you in just a moment again. Those who obey the gospel on earth are put in the body of Christ. And if they remain in the body of Christ, on the day of judgment, they're going to be saved. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, For as many of you have obeyed the gospel, for you're baptized into Christ. That's why baptism is essential. That's why when you come and hear the gospel preach, a preacher has to tell you something about baptism, because baptism is essential to salvation. Baptism puts you into Christ's body where the saved people are. I want you to look at two more verses that hopefully will make this a little clearer to you. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 27. I want to read these two verses. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do you get into Christ? You're baptized into Christ. And when you're baptized into Christ, you're put on Christ. What are you baptized into? His body. Then what is his body? The church. Now look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you what? What promise did God make to Abraham? I'm going to bless those that bless thee. I'm going to curse those that curse thee. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. How is it that God can bless us when we obey the gospel? And what is the gospel? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And when you are baptized by obeying the gospel, the Lord will take you and add you to his church where all the saved people are. And if you remain in the church where the saved people are, the Lord will give you a home in heaven, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus, you know these verses. You're familiar with them. He says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he says, the gates of hell, verse 19, shall not prevail against it. And he says to Peter, I will give thee the keys to the kingdom. Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the church. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And the Holy Spirit filled the house where they were sitting. Who's they? He's going to tell us the they in just a moment. And as they were sitting in this room, the Spirit filled the house, the room where they were sitting, and they began to speak with other tongues, with other language, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Who was speaking? Look down at verse number 14, Acts 2. And Peter, standing with the 11, God told Peter, I'm going to give thee the keys to the church. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Where are the saved people? They're in the kingdom. Where are the saved people? They're in the church. Where are the saved people? They're in the body of Christ. And Peter, I promise you that I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Peter is about to use the keys to the kingdom for the very first time. Peter stood up with the 11 and he began to tell them, these men are not drunk as you suppose or you may think they are. But this is that which was prophesied in the Old Testament, that one day God was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Look at verse 22. He told them in verse 20 that you've killed the Son of God. You've killed him. You murdered the Son of God. You've killed the Son of God. But God raised him from the dead in verse number 22. God did not leave his son's body in the grave. God raised him from the dead. Now look at verse 36. And the Bible says when they heard that Jesus Christ is now Lord of Lords, when they heard that Jesus is a king of all kings, that he's a king of a kingdom, they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to get into Christ's kingdom? What must we do to get into Christ's church? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And his promises unto you and to your children and to the many that are far off. You know what? Verse 41, and that day they gladly received the word and they were baptized. Now look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. What's the church? The body. What's the body? The church. And the Lord added to the church daily, not churches, not bodies. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Tonight, where are the saved people? They're in the church. Where are the saved people? They're in the body. Now, you use your common sense. Which church you think they're in? Church of a choice? You mean I can go out tonight and start a church just because I preach out of the Bible and name it the Sam Jones Church and put any name I want on it and God will be pleased? Jesus promised to build the church. Jesus promised to establish his church. Peter promised Peter the keys to the kingdom. And when he comes back, he's coming back not for churches. He's coming back for believers who have complied with the will of God. Why do you need to be in the body of Christ? Turn to 1 Peter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. When you talk about God, it's not talking about Jehovah. It's talking about Christ. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Christ. What's the house of Christ? The church of Christ. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the church of Christ. And if it first start at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Where do you need to be tonight to escape condemnation? You need to be in the house of Christ. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be in the body of Christ. How do you get into the body of Christ? You're baptized in the body of Christ. Remember Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Does it matter which church you're a member of? Think about it. Where are you right now, religiously? You think God is pleased? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. Why are you a member of the church that you're a member of? Is it because the Bible says it's okay? Or because the Bible says it's the way that will lead to heaven? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. If you're not in Christ tonight, why not? Why not get into him tonight? Because that's where the saved people are. I want to say this on the end of this lesson. I'm not here to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm here to try to help you to better understand God's will. If you can be saved in any church of your choice, why did Jesus die? If I can establish a church and put any name out there that I want to, why did Jesus die? Jesus died to establish his church. And that's why Isaiah says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, shall be exalted above the hills. And he says, all nations shall flow unto it. Not them, not those, it. Are you where it is, salvation is? If not, what do you need to do? What do you need to do tonight to be sure that you're where you need to be in order to hear the Lord say, well done unto you? I have you to know, turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, and we're going to close, that everyone in the church and the body of Christ is not going to heaven. I don't want to stand before you and say that everybody who's in a member of the Lord's church is going to heaven, only those who are faithful. And that's why the Bible says he's going to take out of his kingdom first those who have done offenses. Everybody in the body of Christ not going to heaven. But if you're not in the body of Christ, can you go to heaven? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. How do you get into the Lord? You get into his body. How do you get into his body? You get into his church. How many bodies are there? Ephesians 4 verse 4 says there is one body. I can't argue with that. There's one body. And if the body is a church, how many churches should there be? You tell me. Help me. Help me to comprehend. The Bible says there's one body. And if the body is a church, how many churches are there? Jesus died that we all might be one, that Jews and Gentiles may be fellow heirs and of the same body, that they both might be one. That's why tonight I can't preach for you to join the church of your choice. I can't preach for you to be a member of the church of your choice. I encourage you to become a member of the body of Christ. I don't encourage you to become a member of the church of your feeling, of your choice. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told the people what they needed to do to be saved. And when they obeyed the gospel, the Lord added them to the church. The church is important. That's why the prophets talked about it. The church is important. That's why Jesus preached on it. The church is important. That's why he told the 12 disciples to go from place to place preaching on it. The church is important. That's why he spent 40 days talking about it. The church is important. That's why the Spirit led Philip and Paul and others to go from city to cities preaching about the kingdom. The church is important because it fulfills God's purpose, God's plan, that both Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I plead with you to let us sit down and talk with you. Let us sit down and reason together. And go back and inquire of your minister, why am I a member of this church? Show me why I should be a member of this church or continue my membership there. If he tells you, don't worry about it. Just believe in your heart you're saved. Then you ought to look for another church. You ought to look for the one the Lord wants you to be a member of. He ought to be able to give you an answer for why you're doing what you're doing. You've been a gracious audience. And I don't know if I've helped you or not. But I've tried to do the best I could and help you to understand the importance of the church. It matters to God, not to me. It matters to God which church we're a member of. The church is an important part of God's plan for saving man. If you're here tonight and you want to know, what must I do to be saved? In order for you to go to heaven, you have to get rid of your sin. Sin will keep you from going to heaven. John 8, verse 21, Jesus says, Sammy, where I am, you cannot come if you die in your sin. And so tonight, I need to know, preacher, what must I do to get rid of my sins so I can go to heaven? Jesus says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why? Because in the act of baptism, you go down in that watery grave of baptism, you come in contact with the blood of Christ. What's in that blood? There's wonderful working power. There's cleansing power in the blood of Christ, and it'll wash your sins away. And when you come up out of that watery grave of baptism where your sins have been washed away, you're in Christ, and the Lord adds you not to this building. This building is going to be destroyed one day. He adds you to a body of believers. A body of believers, not a building, but a body of believers. And when the trumpet shall sound on the day of judgment, those body of believers who are faithful shall rise first and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Don't you want to go to heaven tonight? Don't you want to be sure that if you die tonight or this year or whenever, that you're right with God? In order to do that, you need to understand the significance and the importance of the church and God's plan for saving man. It matters to God which church you and I are a member of. Again, I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings. I didn't come here to West Palm Beach to offend anyone. I came here to preach the truth to you. And if what I'm preaching tonight is not God's word, is not true, then you owe it to me to sit me down and explain it to me. I'm here not to try to make a name for myself. I'm here to reason with you what thus said the Lord. And if what I've said is not true, show me where I'm wrong. And if what I preach is true, then what do you need to do? What a sad day it'll be if I didn't preach what I preached tonight, and on the day of judgment, you came to visit us here at this church building, I just preached a sugar-coated gospel and didn't tell you that it mattered. On the day of judgment, the Lord says to you, I don't know you. Amen. And you turned to me and said, Sammy, how could you say you love me? And you didn't tell me that it mattered to God which church you're a member of. And so tonight, I'm not here to make you mad, but I'm not here to sugarcoat the gospel. I've got to preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I hope now that you will decide to give your life to God as we together stand and sing the invitation.